Gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks for your word. And Lord, we just ask that your word be opened up to us afresh and anew. Lord, we just ask this in your holy name. Amen. Now, we're continuing on our walking through the book of Ephesians. We're in our second half of the book of Ephesians, and we're just kind of delving into this little section. We had a look at the first section of chapter 4 last week, and this week we're going to be looking at that second half of chapter 4 from verses 17 to 32. And it all really revolves around that whole notion and understanding of being transformed, of being reshaped because of what Christ has done for us. Reshaping our lives because of what we have learnt about Christ. Now, as I was reading, as Gail was reading through that reading again, and as I was reading through it, and I was just contemplating, just there sitting down the front, and I was just thinking, now, were the people of Ephesus really bad people? Because it's kind of looking like they were really lustful and thievery, horrible kind of people, but I was actually just contemplating that and just going, we often think really badly of the people outside, but the reality is they're probably no worse than we are. And that, this is what I'm going to explore with us today a little bit, about how we ourselves need to look at this passage, not point the finger at other people, but how does it speak to us? How does it speak to you today for ourselves? Because what really is going on is that living with Jesus means that we will have a change in our behavior. That learning about who Jesus Christ is, letting the Holy Spirit work within your life, will actually mean that you will have change in your behavior. It won't stay the same. How can we live a life that Jesus taught us to live? N.T. Wright, I'm going to put this up on the screen for us. N.T. Wright basically says that we live a very compartmentalized life. Our lives are very compartmentalized in the West. We're a Western civilization. And it means for us, we might believe in Jesus, but we don't actually live it out. Let me say that. We might believe in Jesus, but we don't actually live it out in our lives and don't live out what Jesus taught us. Let me explore this for a little bit because I think it's actually really key and important for us to actually understand this for ourselves. Because when we think about it, have you ever heard the saying, you know, church and politics should never mix? I remember back in previous church, we actually had a reasonably well-known politician come and speak at our service. And it was interesting because I was speaking to a colleague of mine about inviting this person. And they said to me, you know that, yes, he's a Christian. It was a he. He's a Christian, but you know his faith doesn't actually inform his politics. And that got me to think, that is very compartmentalized. You know, faith was faith, the religion was religion, business is business, you know, politics is politics, and they don't talk to one another. That's what it means by being compartmentalized. And it got me thinking a little bit further. It got me thinking during this week, and as I was reflecting on this, it got me thinking, how do we do that in our life? Do we compartmentalize our things? Do we actually let the gospel speak into our lives? And here's the thing. We need to be careful when we talk about letting the gospel speak into our lives, because often what we have a hesitance to do is we often let our lives interpret the gospel for us. So we actually put it backwards. Rather than the gospel tell us about our lives, we often try and shoehorn the gospel into what our lives are like. And it might be you look at a particular passage through a particular lens and you look at it in a particular way and you suddenly see that well, all the scriptures like this. Or somebody else looks at it and sees it very differently. We need to let the Word of God speak into our lives and let it change us and reshape us. Just as the Apostle Paul was encouraging the church in Ephesus to let the teachings of Jesus Christ change their lives, not to live the old life, but let to be renewed, reshaped, reformed. Let's delve into what, and I want us to just focus on verses 21 to 24 in a little bit more in depth for us. And it says this: since you have heard about Jesus and heard the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. You know how I was just kind of saying, you know, think about it for a moment. Were the Ephesians this really lustful and deceptive kind of people? Or maybe it's actually looking about how we lust after things. It may not be after sexual things, just maybe wanting something badly, that's the only thing that sits in your mind. Have you ever come to the point where you've thought about something and it's something coming up, or you know, you've gone, it'd be interesting to buy this thing or whatever it might be, and that's the only thought you think about and it continues to be there? That's a lustful thought. It's taking over and controlling you and letting that sit in your life the whole time. And it's also that whole notion of deception, that you know, that you're thinking that the outside influence rather than God's influence is the one that is controlling you. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And as it starts in our mind and our attitudes we have, and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So let's explore this for a second. There's a Greek word that I'm just going to share with you there. I'm probably not going to pronounce it correctly. Epitetheum, which actually means to lay aside or cast off. It's actually to take off, lay aside, put there. And as I was reading this, I was thinking, oh, what are they saying? Are they wanting you to throw it away? You know, when we talk about taking off a coat, you know, and Glenda's example, having the coat on there, we take a coat off and we put it aside only so that we can put it back on. That's not what we're talking about here. It's taking it off and casting it away, not to be picked up again. It's like a piece of rubbish that you're putting in the bin. You don't go and scrounge and dive it into the bin again. You leave it there. You cast it away. You put it aside rather than going, oh, I'm just going to pick that up again. This is the thing that Paul is talking. He's going, we want to actually have this deliberate and conscious decision to let go of sinful behavior. So that's actually the nuance of the word. It's not just to put it aside. It's actually this deliberate, conscious decision to let go of our sinful behavior, our behavior that is not in tune with God's will for our lives. And we need to kind of really understand for that. It doesn't have to be these big things. It can be these small little things that we just need to be able to go, I'm going to put that aside. I'm not going to live that way. I know God doesn't want me to be doing this thing. John Piper said about this, that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battlefield. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battlefield. And it's we are always thinking about what we can do that is going to be in God's providence rather than of our own. It's actually taking that moment, living as a new creation in Christ requires that daily surrender and dependence on that, on the Holy Spirit in our lives. It means actively choosing to reject sin and pursue righteousness. It's that's the battlefield that we're talking about. Paul not only just speaks about it here in Ephesians, but he also says here that that means, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. This whole notion of putting aside, taking off, casting away, it's about taking off the old and putting on the new, and that's the new found in Christ and Christ only. So let's just delve into this whole notion of taking off in order to put on. Taking off in order to put on. And Paul here does this with Ephesians, and we're into a little list of these things where Paul is listing a few things that we should be taking off so that we can put something on. Put on new life, a new thing that God has. It's not just cast it aside and let the void fill it up. It's actually cast it aside and put on something that is Christ-like in our life. And let me just put up for this little section that we've just had today, here's a little list of things. We're going to take off lies. Now, we may not make big fibs or lies or be deceitful in lots of different ways, but there might be things that are small and decisive in our life where we go, I could answer it this way or I could answer it slightly differently. They both say the same thing, but one's going to have a bit of a nuance to it. Think about why we do that. What is the thing that we're doing? Well, we're technically giving a lie because we're not letting the whole truth come out. So take off the lies, take off the deceit that we have, take off the things that we don't, you know, the half-truths, the falsehoods, and put on truth. When we speak the truth. And that is what we should be doing each and every day in our life. Paul is encouraging us to take off anger. Take that off and put on peace. I don't know about you, but there are times when, we think, oh, have I got some righteous anger? Have I just got anger? You know, is it something that I need to be angry about because it's injustice? Well, you're actually seeking justice. You know, we try and make excuses for when we do bad things, but that's what Paul is saying. Put off those bad things, put off that anger so that we can put on peace and create peace in our lives, peace in our family, peace within our community, peace within the church, the body of Christ. Now, I don't know whether it was because we're a thieving generation in Ephesus or not, or what was going on, but, you know, put off theft, put off stealing, put off these things so that we can put on generosity. Notice that complete opposite there. Not taking so that you can have the things. And the theft is taking what you don't own, what you have not earned yourself. It's taking somebody else's possessions. Let me tell you a quick little story about, and I hate to say this, it was a church minister that was saying this, that he really didn't mind taking software that he didn't own and getting his way around it so he could use it. Though the expensive kind of software, it's quite a while back. And I said to him, that's stealing. And he said, oh, it's a big corporation, I don't care. That, I find, is difficult. That is theft. And Paul here goes, even those kind of things, where we haven't actually owned a pirate copy of a movie, you know, they're the kind of things we're talking about. We may go, oh, it's not too bad. It's not hurting anybody. I'm not going out and robbing a bank. Theft, put that aside. It's taking, it's coveting something else that is not ours and taking it. That is not theirs for use, and put on generosity. In other words, out of what we've earned, what we've got, we see that there is a need in the world, there's need in other people, and we give generously to those of what we have. Paul encourages the church and believers to put aside, to take off gossip, of that idle conversation that just goes and creates division. and rather says we should put on encouragement rather than the gospel that pulls down and, you know, did you hear about such and such and their breakup and what, you know, rather than that, encouragement. And then finally in this section, Paul talks about taking off revenge, not seeking to actually take your pound of flesh for whatever misdeed might be there. Put that aside and offer forgiveness. Notice how that little list, and next week we're actually going to explore the rest of that list and how Paul is talking about that living a life that is of the light and holy. He continues that continuation into the next chapter in chapter 5. He has this list of not just don't do, but what is the positive thing that you can do instead? Take off so that you can put on. Live a life that Christ has put in there. The teachings of Christ reshape ourselves. So let's just pray today. Let's ask God to talk into our lives. Show us where the things are in our lives that we need to put off so that we can put on what Christ has for us. A gracious, loving God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks that the Apostle Paul challenged the church at Ephesus, challenged those believers to not live in the old patterns, in the old ways, in the old life, but challenged them to have a life that is founded in you, Christ. Lord, today we ask that we may put aside our old life so that we may have a new life made new in your image. May the things that might be there, whether they are lies, whether they're anger, whether they're gossip, whether there is theft or whatever it might be, Lord, that is not of your giving in us, not of your nature in us, Lord. Help us to put that aside daily, each day, to put it aside so that we may put on things that are in tune with you, in tune with your word, in tune with living a life that is Christ-like. May we be more Christ-like in all of our lives and our daily living. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.